There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
Off the ball, rugby.
Oh, I would rather go out in the sword than get to that point. But, you know, as I said, when Finlay and the sub front row were on the field, they had the right idea of at least hitting down.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball daily.
Right, I am here in the home of former Ireland rower Sunita Puspoor. Sunita, thanks very much for having me here, and thank you so much for your time. The idea of former rower, first of all, is that still a strange sensation to hear?
No, I'm actually quite happy with that, considering what's happening in the system. I'm glad I'm not there anymore. I'm quite enjoying normal life, having a full-time job. My daughter, she started rowing now, so I'm still involved in it and still kind of training a small bit, keeping myself fit. But yeah, I'm kind of delighted I'm former rower at the moment.
Okay, and what's your involvement with the daughter's rowing team?
Not much, no. I'm just kind of trying to push her on, give her some tips and advice. And we actually did my sign-off race, my last race probably, in Boston last month, and that was great fun. So that was our first race together and my last race for forever, probably. Okay. I don't know, maybe, I don't know.
For now anyway,
yeah. for the next good few years probably.
So for a lot of people, they'll have come to this story in the Sunday Independent over the past couple of weeks, and the work that Paul Kimmich has done on what's been happening at high performance level in Irish rowing over the past couple of years. But actually, you spoke about this back in January, and a lot of the very similar themes that we've seen over the past couple of weeks were backed up by you, first of all, when you went on the record with Sinead Cassan, I think, in January as well. Talk to us about your feeling when you see a handful of rowers coming out and sharing their experiences publicly.
So, yeah, my article came out in January, and the first thing that made me quite disappointed was our CEO's comment that out of 150 athletes, there was only 3 complaints. First of all, 150 athletes have never been in a training center at one time. So she put in together all the athletes, probably all the trialists. Like, we had a big trial now just last weekend, and it doesn't count. After the article came out, I actually had numerous messages from parents of younger athletes texting me, thanking me for speaking out, and that their kids had very disappointing experiences. But they're not going to complain because they still want to compete for Ireland. So for them, they either stay quiet or remove yourself from the system. Mm-hmm. So that's why I actually found that comment quite hurtful. And she knew really well the point I was coming from. And she still chose to defend image of rowing Ireland instead of athletes' well-being. So that was disappointing. Mm-hmm. And the second, I listened to the podcast and I actually found that hit me harder. I was very, very sad after it. Like, it's just, you know, when you listen to the story and sometimes you think something's made up, surely. And there was no point in time when I was listening that I said, oh no, that didn't happen. Everything happened. Everything was valid. They were real people's experiences. It was nothing to do about success. It was being disrespected, being overlooked, being treated differently than the others. Like, it all happened. Like, they can deny all they want, but it happened.
Mm-hmm. In terms of your own experience, first of all, when did you feel that most acute sense of not being treated fairly in the setup?
Well, for me, that was probably a disappointing experience before Paris Olympics. Mm-hmm. I was totally overlooked for the trial for the double. The only reason I did not fight for my place back in the 2023 for the qualifying championships because I trusted the system's going to be there and I will have my chance to prove that I'm faster and I can make the boat faster. But to my disappointment, there was no fair trialing system. So it was all pre-selected from day one. They had no interest putting me in a boat. They were just using me as a bait for the other girls to train harder.
Why was that?
Well, probably because I looked after myself and I spoke up against them. And I told them after Tokyo that the program's too hard for me. I need to do less and I still can be faster. And to be honest, I proved that to them. But I probably should go back in time a little bit so it makes a little bit more sense. So 2022, I was, after Tokyo, I was heartbroken, obviously. So I didn't know if I'm going to go back. And they gave me time and I was also injured. So that was kind of a blessing. I could train on my own and I was actually getting pretty fit. And then quite late in the season, they threw us in a double and we just clicked. We went on, we won a few medals. It was all nice. And then 2023, at the trials, they said we have to be within about 6 seconds of each other in a singles to be able selected for the double. So, and we did what we were asked for. We got into the singles, we raced, we were within the margins. So they put us in a double and that was it, considered selected. So knowing the process that year, 2023, I was relying, that's what's going to happen 2024 before Olympics. They're going to test the singles, see who's fastest and put the fastest double together. But they didn't do anything of any of that. They were just like, oh yeah, we're going to give the double that race at Worlds chance and you might get your chance, you might not. So, and I was asking one day in the office saying, well, what's the trials going to look like? When is it going to go ahead and what's the format of the trial? And to my surprise, Antonio, who was paid huge amount of money in salary and Rowing Ireland receiving over 1 million in funding, his answer was, oh, I don't know yet. So that was the trial for Olympic year. He didn't know yet. And that was December. So that blew me away. And I was like, okay, so this is what I'm dealing here with. That was very disheartening. And so, yeah, I was fighting till the end to get my chance, but they just kept me at arm's length.
When you say them, are you talking specifically about Antonio or is it a wider collection of people who are making decisions and that you have in mind?
Yeah, that was Antonio, was probably the mastermind behind all the decisions and everyone had to back it up. I don't know, Giuseppe, he was the women's lead coach. He, sometimes I feel like he couldn't even look at me. I don't know why. Ash Rowe as well was behind that decision. Yeah, I was very disappointed because they knew I'm going to make the boat faster. And he told me that in the office many times. But then the one thing about he tells me, and then when you leave the office, you see that he has no intentions of doing it. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty disheartening.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Holidays bring feasting, fluffy dinner rolls, tasty stuffing, and your family's French toast bakes. With Hero Bread, indulge in your holiday favorites, made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, bagels, croissants, buttermilk biscuits, and more. And don't forget their Hero Hawaiian rolls. With 4 grams of protein and 0 grams net carbs, Hero Bread has you covered with 0 to 5 grams net carb and high fiber options so your holidays stay delicious and balanced. Like their 3 grams net carb pan au chocolat. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains up to 17 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
I'm sure this is a question that you've asked yourself many times over the last couple of years, but he definitely strikes me at least as somebody who wanted to win and wanted to at least have success for this team. So I can't understand the gap between that. And as you say, you would have made the boat faster, but the lack of opportunity afforded to you, yeah. I don't understand it, and maybe you don't understand it either. I guess that's maybe what makes it such a tormenting experience. Or maybe you do.
Well, I remember one day I was at a physio and she was saying, look, there's two options. One option is you can do what they tell you to do in a program and you will be injured and broken and you will not make it to the start line. Or you can do less, look after yourself better, but they're probably still not going to pick you because you're not doing the full program.
The physiotherapist in Rowing Ireland said that to you?
She was Sport Ireland Institute physiotherapist, yeah.
So a little bit separate, but yeah, still, yeah. That's incredible information to get.
So basically, yeah, I chose the latter. So I chose to look after myself better. And at least I know I didn't go to Olympics, but God, I proved them wrong that you can still be faster by doing less. And yeah. That's great satisfaction to me. Yes. Because I took time off away from the centre for about 4 weeks in December and I came back in January, and by March I was beating the girls even by not training the full time. So that was great satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know why they didn't try the boat with me in it, because Antonio told me, as I said, he told me many times, I know you can make the boat faster. But I suppose from their point of view, they were looking at a new project for 2028. But at the same time, like, you're using taxpayers' money, you kind of should be sending the fastest boat to Olympics. So, yeah, it kind of didn't make sense. So I wonder if there's something a bit deeper why they didn't try me out.
But you still don't know for sure. So you're kind of left in limbo a little bit.
Yeah, you see, I appealed the process of selection after May World Cup. And so the process itself, I had to pay for €500 to appeal it, and God, it felt so rigged. It was like, I'm glad I did it, because I had to do it officially so we can proceed further. But like, I had printed out all the results from the year when I marked myself where I was against the girls and sent it all in, and then they still had decision made by next early morning. So it just shows me that I did not spend enough time to look in, not at the results, nothing. If you look at the policy that was approved by the board, it says nothing. There's absolutely no protection for the athlete. It was just saying basically that Antonio has the last word regardless the results in a trial. Okay. So you could have been the fastest by a mile, but he still might not select you because he thinks you were uncoachable. Okay. Or terms like crew harmony. Okay. Like, do you know, it should be the fastest boat.
Yeah.
Not the sweetest boat. I don't even know. It makes no sense. Like,
it's a simple sport, you know.
Sport, yeah.
So to just kind of, not to put too fine a point on it, but the situation was that you would have made the boat faster. However, the way in which you trained didn't satisfy Antonio. Not the standard of your training, the way in which you trained. Yeah. So therefore, this boils down to a story about control.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But at the same time, like, he had exceptions for some crews that did do different kind of training as well.
Right.
There was another crew where they had to compromise the training for one of the girls. So she couldn't do the whole session. Then the other three will come in and finish it on a bike or whatever. So for some reason, they were okay to do that. But if I was in a double, it was not okay to do that. Mm-hmm. So again, like, I actually took it very personal. Like, he really hurt me by his decisions and lack of transparency and honesty. And he's the one always saying, oh, you have to be honest. But he wasn't honest with me at all. Not from day one that year. So yeah, lost a lot of respect for him. Not that I had much, but it's all gone.
Did you have many conversations with other rowers around this time who were going through something similar to you and were also deeply unhappy? Because it definitely, you sound isolated when you talk about this, that you are quite on your own in this. Were you on your own?
Yes, I was. And you know, there's another thing that really hurt me was during my time when I was training there, I did defend quite a few athletes. I stood up for them. I went to speak to coaches when I felt they were treating them wrong. And then when I actually needed someone to back me and stand up for me, nobody stood up. absolutely no one. And that really hurt because, like, they all knew I was wrongly done by. They all knew, like, I'm sure the girls were afraid until the last minute, until they got selected, that one of them can get thrown out of the double. Because they knew I have a lot of skill. I knew how to move the boat. I would get the seed back. But nobody backed me up on this. Like, they knew I was appealing, and everyone just went, okay, we'll just focus on our own boat. Yeah, you have to be selfish, but, like, not that selfish.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was, again, another thing that kind of really makes you think, like, what is this high-performance sport? Where is that one team, one dream that they were always emphasizing? Oh, this is for the good of the team. There is no team. It's everyone for themselves. That's what I learned.
I guess on one level, maybe that's understandable. Everybody has their own individual dreams of going to the Olympics and whatnot. But that comes back to the coach, doesn't it? To ensure that the individualism doesn't exist and to actually have a fair, transparent trial and makes the decisions. It takes that individuality out of the decision-making process, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. But, like, you know, as an athlete, I would be okay if I lost the seat and I wasn't fast enough. It's just the fact that he never gave me the chance to lose that seat. That's the worst thing you can finish your career with.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't think I'm good enough, let me lose the seat and I'll be happy. I'll be supporting you. And the funny thing is, he knew I was a fastest sculler and he didn't even offer me to go as a spare to Olympics. And I can sweep and I can scull, and I wasn't even good enough to do that. And I was like, all right. It just shows that they didn't want me around, and yeah.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Holidays mean feasting, from cheddar biscuits to French toast bakes. Hero Bread has you covered with 0 to 5 grams net carb and high fiber options to ensure your holidays stay delicious and balanced. Like their 3 grams net carb pan of chocolate. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains up to 17 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
And it's important that that's clarified, that, you know, that people might have this conception about this story that people didn't get selected for the Olympic Games, and that's the reason behind a lot of unhappiness. But that's actually just beside the point. It's how it happened. There might be a view out there that when they see the actions of the coach, they might say, well, listen, this is high performance environment. You know, if you can't take tough words, if you can't take being pushed to your limit, you shouldn't be involved in a high performance setup. That might be what he would say if he was here. What would you say to that argument?
That's bullshit. We know it's a tough sport, and if someone says, like, oh, it's not for everyone, well, it was for me.
Yeah.
I fucking made it. Like, I went all the way. And if someone can say, oh, if she can't take it, she should leave, that's not what it's all about. It's about being actually respected. And, like, I've been in rowing for 30 years now. If he couldn't listen to my opinion and respect it and take it on board, then he's just an arrogant man. Like, you need to work with people, not make them, I don't know, don't even know how to describe it. Like, it's like he's looking at you from above. He's not on the same level. Like, even when he started working here, that was like early days, no one in Sport Institute was good enough. Like, everyone was, oh, they don't know how to deal with the Olympic medalists. They don't know how to deal with the world champions. I mean, boxing's been getting medals in Olympics all the time, and they have the same support. So why do they not know what to do now?
Okay, so
he was basically,
he was critical across sports, not just within rowing.
Absolutely, yeah. He was critical across all the support staff that we had from Institute. We were chuffed. We never had so much support. We had, like, nutritionists, we had strength and conditioning, we had physios. It was really good setup. And then it just that, again, as you said before, like, that controlling, like, he needed to control absolutely everyone. And if the physios didn't agree with him on a program and said, like, oh, you might need to substitute this with a bike, he'd lose his head. Like, he started shouting at them. Like, yeah, he was not a pleasant man to deal with.
In terms of how he went above your limits, obviously you had had a very successful career before he comes into the programme. You had got to know Payne fairly well throughout your entire career. You knew exactly the limits that you had to push yourself to in order to get the best out of yourself. How far beyond that line did you try to push your body at first before realising this is actually going to have a detrimental impact on me?
That was fairly soon. I think 2018 was kind of, because I only joined the programme fully in February. So I was fine until September for the World Championships. And then I was fine 2019 for a while. And then second part of 2019, once the season started coming up, I could feel I'm getting really sluggish. I'm getting a little bit like, I looked terrible. I'm like blue bags under eyes and all that, like, you know, chronically fatigued, basically. So I think what saved me that year was my sister was unfortunately dying from cancer. So I spent 3 weeks in Latvia training way less than I should have. So that was my time to physically recover. So I did my one session a day, then I spent some time with her. Sometimes I wouldn't even train if I was too tired mentally. And then all I had to do was just the camp and then champs. So that saved me. And then 2020, early 2020 already, I felt like that my body wasn't working anymore as it used to be. So all the sessions, the same sessions we used to do, obviously he ramped up the mileage every year as well. It would take more effort. The effort, like perceived effort, would go up, let's say, for the steady session. For the work sessions, it will go up as well. And that was already a red flag for me. Like, I've studied sports science a little bit, so I'm not dumb in that regard. Like, I know the reactions, and if you don't recover enough, like, you slowly and going downhill. yeah, and then I already had some vertigo issues in 2020, like around March, April. So I started working with rehab. Physio was rehabbing that, and but that was kind of dismissed, so it all just kind of went under the rug. And then late in 2020, when I flagged up again to Antonio, I remember during a session I said, like, look, I'm not feeling very well. That was before European Championships. He just dismissed and said, oh, you're just tired, you're tapering, you're tired. So okay, fine. And then from there on it just all went downhill. So the year before Tokyo was horrendous. Like, I was having illnesses, injuries, and this is where I feel like he let me down by not paying enough attention to what the feedback I was giving him, because he knew, probably he knows best, you know. And then when I asked if I can have some extra support from a physiologist, it was all jaw brushed aside. No.
Right.
So just simple no. Like, you know, I'm almost 40 years of age, asking if I can have physiologists to help me to see, let's say, if I'm working in the right area. Like, do I need to maybe take it back down a little bit? The simple answer was no. But why? Why would he not accept the help if there was one?
Yeah.
And it's just little things like that. There's so many of them. And funnily enough, what I've noticed over the last few years, the crews that did the best at the championships were the crews that were injured over a year more. So that means they get that little stint on a bike when they can do less intensity but do like longer steady like sessions at slower pace. They always tend to do better at the main events.
Okay, right. So almost by accident and not being involved with his setup.
And that was at least last 3 years for sure. Let's say men's pair, half the year injured, and then they just pull it out of the bag of the champs, come back together at the right time. Heavyweight men's pair at the Olympics, they were also half the season they were injured, training on the bikes in different times, also went back together, performed better. Not talking about lightweights here because they're obviously separate. Women's pair trained all the way through and got slower as the season progressed, and I actually think coaches let them down. That's just my opinion again. So that's how it goes.
Yeah.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
And when you're, like, you're obviously rowing distances way more than you should be, right? To a greater degree than your body can take. Like, so you're pushing yourself to the wall and going beyond the wall every single day in training, and you know that your body is suffering as a result?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Like, the golden rule is you do your 3 sessions of work, which is higher intensity, a week, and then in between you do your long training sessions, like keep your engine building and all that kind of stuff, do your weights to get strong. As with them, there was work every single day. Like, every single day you go out and you bash yourself against you compare yourselves against the others. There's always like a sheet of percentages come out, and you can't, like, you can sustain maybe for a year or two, but then you're done.
Okay. Do you feel that the opportunity to win an Olympic medal was taken from you?
I'm trying not to go there because
it's a horrible question, I know.
Yeah, maybe. Because, like, when I went back in March, I was in really good form. I was improving. I was top of, like, the last camp before qualifiers, I was top of the rankings when I hadn't been there for a while. And to be on top of the rankings is hard in a single. They saw that I'm gaining speed. I actually don't know why they... Like, yeah, I have no idea. Maybe. I think there was enough experience, enough engine to do it. But unfortunately, yeah, we'll never know. But I'm seeing this as not getting there and starting all this thing about getting the system changed, getting someone accountable for all the... Like, the reason he was able to do all these things because everyone else was just, like, looking through the fingers. Nobody else reacted to anything. People knew. Like, my husband Casper, he had a conversation not long before Paris with Monster Rep. He knows who he is, I won't say the names. He knew everything and he did nothing. And I did expect something. Like, at least a phone call from one of them. At least an apology after about not having my back. Like, I've been there for so many years trying to fly the flag, and this wasn't just a hobby, this was like our livelihood. Like, we lived and breathed and everything was rowing. Like, kids' lives were adapted to rowing, their holidays were rowing holidays. So it wasn't like, oh yeah, sure, she's 42, whatever, she's done her bit, like, we'll let her go. No, I wanted to leave on my terms. Like, I wanted to leave knowing that I fought so hard to come back from the state I was in when I saw they're not going to put me in a double in January, to come back and try to prove myself again, that so they would change their mind. I tried so hard, but they still did nothing, like, you know. And yeah, I just felt let down by not community was amazing. Like, I've actually had so much support from everyone, but just from the governing body. And unfortunately, Sport Ireland knew what was happening as well, and they still didn't do anything as well. So I think there's definitely some questions need to be asked. Like, if you give a governing body so much money, you need to keep track where they're spending it. You need to keep track what's the well-being of the athletes. You can't just, like, give them tools. What were the tools that they gave? Psychologist, clinical psychologist, or psychiatrist? Is that the tools that you're going to give to the governing body to deal with issues? It's not good enough. Like, they need to... How I see is, you can't let someone come in and change the whole system without overlooking it. How are they changing it?
Mm-hmm. So what needs to happen now for you to feel that at least there was a good outcome as a result of what you went through? What are the... There has obviously been personnel changes post-Mauro Giovanni, obviously not here anymore, he's in France. But do you think there needs to be more change?
there's definitely need to be more change. There's need to be more accountability, as I mentioned already. And also, if you read athlete agreement, there's like athletes' responsibilities are this, this, and this, and this. What are the governing body's responsibilities? Like selection policy. They changed selection policy so many times to suit what they wanted it to be. And how did the board approve the policy? Like, there's at no one point it says that the fastest crew actually has to go. It's all about that bullshit about harmony and coachability and stuff. I'm very coachable. I've been coached by many coaches and I have really good relationships with them. And harmony, I got on well with everyone, you know? So it's all a lot of shite, basically. I'm sorry, you probably will have to beep out a lot.
But would you, like, because I don't know, like, is this a case of a bad egg? And sure, his close confidants and people who worked with him in the Irish setup, like, once you cut him out of the Irish system, which has happened, do you then automatically have confidence that the next generation of rowers will be treated okay?
I'm hoping, but
you don't know.
I think there's still some changes need to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, even from what I heard now, from the last season that went on, selection was much fairer at points, but then at some points maybe wasn't. But, you know, like, it's definitely way more transparent. Let's say the trials that happened on a weekend, you see the times, there's no secrecy about it. Like, the times come out for everyone to see, which is good. Hopefully they'll keep moving in the right direction. But I still think they need to... Look, all I wanted was an apology.
Yeah.
I still haven't gotten it from anyone. Not from Rowing Ireland, not from Mauro Giovanni, not from anyone. Like, that's it. That's all I wanted.
Is it too late now if Rowing Ireland were to apologise?
Probably, yeah. Like, I mean, we've gone way too far. It wasn't my choice. I didn't want to burn all the bridges when I left. I wanted to be friendly. Like, my idea of retiring was throw a massive party, go to the awards in Rowing Ireland and celebrate the retirement from sport. I don't want to see any of them. Like, never mind the party for retirement. Like, that's probably never going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's definitely way too late.
Yeah. It's an interesting one to consider, those who are still in the system, because, look, some of them are literal individuals, a lot of the, but it is a team, it is a community down in Ballincollig. And, like, I mean, how do you feel about the fact that people do love the system and people don't have the same levels of complaints and are thriving and fully and honestly believe that what's happening right now with rowing in Ireland is absolutely world class and there are no questions to be asked?
Well, that's probably trying to protect the system from the last articles, which is fair enough, but I think this needs to be addressed, and once you address it, you just need to keep going. Like, athletes shouldn't be, like, their work shouldn't stop because of this. It's not their issues to solve. All they need to do is just train hard and make sure they're in good form. Let the others solve the issues. Like, the fact that their articles came out, it doesn't mean that the achievements were any less worthy. Like, they did happen. It was remarkable, whatever they achieved. But it is important at some point to remember what was the cost of it. Mm-hmm. Like, what were the people that, like, likes of Aileen. You know, she had a really bad time, Monica. Haven't seen Lydia near rowing at all lately. Haven't seen Gary near the rowing boat. It's all the people that have left and don't even want to be involved in rowing anymore. Like, that's the saddest part of it.
Yeah.
Like, need to forget about your own achievements for a little minute and just think about, well, what I'm leaving behind. Like, when I leave, what's going to happen? Like, what the system going to look like when I leave?
For you then, how are you coping with all this now? I'm obviously talking about this, I'm not sure if this has been helpful, or maybe this has had the exact opposite of impact on you. But even, like, hearing your former teammates share their experiences in the paper over the past couple of weeks, and this being a conversation, is this a good thing for you right now? Is this a bad thing? Are you still processing a few years that were traumatic for you?
it was traumatic, but I always try to see something positive in it as well. So for me, the positive was that when they didn't put me in a double, like, I actually learned to love the race single again. I loved being training on my own and just enjoyed it a little bit more, I suppose, whether it was forced or not. But obviously, it doesn't take away the fact that I still wanted to race the double. But yeah, it's tough to go back and think about, like, even at work, I was just, you know, a million miles away today, like, thinking about everything that happened and rethinking what could I have done differently. Yeah, it is hard, but, like, at the same time, a few days later, I'll be fine. I'll move on with my life. I've not much to complain about. Like, you know, it's actually not bad to be a normal person and have a full-time job, not to be forced training, like, 5 hours a day. It's, yeah, I do my 45 minutes and I'm done.
You still love the sport.
I do, yeah, absolutely. Like, as I mentioned before, like, the race with all four of us went actually to Boston to race, and that was our first kind of family, and again, small bit of rowing involved, but it was awesome, and absolutely loved racing with her, and I loved training with her beforehand as well, so that was something very, very special for us to share.
Sunita, I really appreciate you being so honest with us this evening, and thank you so much for welcoming us into your home as well. We wish you all the best, and once again, thank you for your honesty and your time this evening.
Thanks so much, and apologies for the cats.
Yeah.
Off the Ball Daily.